Okay, opening up the listener phone line.
Hi, Chris. This is Tom calling from Arizona. I just wanted to know if you could shed some light on the fact that virtually all the large dealers in the country that I know of are out of silver, yet at the same time, silver price has been plummeting. I don't know if that means that they're just trying to counteract the short sellers out there, the paper shorts, to drive the price back up somehow, or is it because they bought it above the current price and they don't want to sell? I just want to know what you guys think, because it's kind of baffling. I just wanted to know what you thought of the whole situation. Thank you.
First caller, Tom from Arizona, says he's heard that many of the silver dealers might be running low on their stockpiles and wonders why the price remains subdued amid low supply. Well, hi, Tom. First off, make a reference to our dear departed friend, Bob Chapman. He and many of our guests advised listeners to mostly ignore the supply demand story, focus instead on the long-term price theme and trend. And while I do agree with our friends at Gata.org that the case for price rigging and manipulation is very compelling, as individual investors, we don't want to get, you know, married to a narrative only just to watch the price continue to disappoint for years, even decades. For instance, back in 2011, as gold more than doubled its all-time record peak of 850, blasting to nearly 2,000, calls for 5,000, 10,000 gold were regularly heard in the blogosphere. After all, the official story indicated that inflation since 1980 was about 250%, so we should expect 850 times around 250%, well over $2,400 gold. But there is a flaw in this greed-based thinking. Here's the question I think every investor should try to remind themselves when bubble-like conditions unfold. How will I know that the bubble is over? Let's let that sink in for a minute. How do we really know? Well, it's pretty easy to tell when a bubble's passed, you know, a few weeks, months, and years later. But how will you know in the middle of a bubble, precisely at the top or near the top? How will you prepare yourself if you don't have a battle plan? Because arbitrary numbers pulled out of thin air, those are dangerous to your portfolio's health and your overall wealth. Case in point, one of my favorite internet gurus has made and lost millions in the market. He shares several hours of what amounts to really a confessions of a market operator, you know, circa 2017. Done and seen it all, wasted 20 years of his life playing video games, spent thousands of dollars mining Bitcoin, building blockchains, trading Bitcoin, futures, options, derivatives, and then lost much of it when it just topped last December at 20,000. He again is warning every investor to simply draw a trend line. Like Ralph Acampora, a good friend of the show, draw a trend line. Here's your support. Above it lies the bull. Below it lies the bear. If the trend is starting to weaken, maybe it's time to hedge or take some profits and diversify some of those profits into undervalued, non-correlated asset classes within the portfolio. So bring this ridiculously long-winded diatribe to a more succinct answer. Here it is in a nutshell. When thinking of any purchase, always ask yourself, is the trend up? And how will I determine when it ends? So turning the spotlight back to the silver market, I would argue that we completed a downtrend in 2015 and built a base in 2016-2017, and we could start a new advance if support holds. I could easily see a run to $28 on the next big move, maybe a bit higher. How will we know if this is wrong? Well, it's easy. If the current support fails, then all bets are off and it's time to look for greener pastures. It reminds me of the brilliant doctor's comments from the must-see documentary classic, A Beautiful Truth. He says, you know, a healthy diet makes plenty of sense. It just doesn't make a lot of dollars for people selling medicines. Similarly, you know, a trend line makes an awful lot of sense. All right, thanks, Tom.
Hey, Chris, how you doing? Giving you a call here. I wanted to get your take on some Bitcoin futures-related questions on CME and the CBOE futures. You know, I noticed a small correlation between the price of Bitcoin and the announcement of these things. It seems like November the 21st, when the CME announced that they were going to open the futures market, Bitcoin was around $8,000, and it looks like it had a pretty big run-up all the way till around December the 18th, whenever the contract started, all the way up to $20,000. And since then, we've seen a party sell-off all the way back down to the 11,000 mark. Oddly enough, the CBOE futures came to an end on January the 17th. Bitcoin was around $9,000. And it looks like the CME futures are going to expire tomorrow, and we're sitting around $11,000. Wondering what your thoughts about this. I'm hoping we're going to see an explosive move to the upside, but didn't know if you thought they had any correlation. A lot of people say that the futures don't really affect the Bitcoin market, but I don't see why these deep pockets can't come onto the Bitcoin market and buy up Bitcoin leading up to the futures and then just dump on the market, leaving everybody wondering what happened. Hope you're doing well. Thanks again for everything you do.
The next caller asks about a correlation between the run-up in Bitcoin following the announcement of a Bitcoin futures contract on the CBOE and the subsequent sell-off. Well, caller, you know, I've checked the Thinkorswim platform on the TD Ameritrade futures account. Trading was incredibly thin around that time of the sell-off. Plus, some of the top traders, experts in the Bitcoin field, share my thoughts that the most likely reason for the BTC advance and crash was due to liquidity issues combined with seasonal factors. So you might recall in around the December timeframe, most BTC exchanges were turning down hundreds of thousands. Even we saw stories of millions of applications per week turned down. This just shows huge pent-up demand. At one point, Bitfinex accounts were actually put up for sale for several thousand dollars. In addition, you may be aware of the big delays in buying Bitcoin, at least at the time, even on Coinbase. You know, you have to jump through a lot of hurdles, build trust over time. So I suspect that this was a bottleneck situation where the investors simply couldn't find a way to buy Bitcoin. So if you try to use the derivatives argument, the futures argument, you really have to investigate the Bitcoin ETF first, ticker GBTC. You know, the Winklevoss Twins ETF. Now, this has been available for over a year. We got people in around $900. It ran up. If this was really an issue of people just wanting derivatives contracts and things of that nature, I would argue that the ETF would have been disproportionately higher than Bitcoin. And in my opinion, I didn't see many signs of that. I don't see that in the data. Just another indication that I think the entire thesis surrounding the futures market top and manipulation somewhat suspect. Now, I do suspect because of this potential bottleneck that we might see a repeat of the behavior perhaps at the end of this year or next year as investors and exchanges again start to realize how can you really have a safe derivatives on a market with only a few thousand bitcoins outstanding. And price discovery, I still think, is a big issue because take a look at all of the exchanges around the world. We can see discrepancies and differentials of many thousands of dollars. At one point, we saw South Korea with around a $27,000 Bitcoin. Well, we never really topped much over $20,000 here in the West. So I suspect that futures and options markets in the coming years will be forced to reprice contracts to reflect a much smaller underlying size. Now, here's an example. At one of the few options exchanges online for Bitcoin, contract size is typically 1 BTC. But as the supply collapses amid institutional demand that is starting to really build, and I expect that to be a big theme in the sector for several years, a fresh new wave of price explosions could occur. However, keep in mind, there are really interesting and compelling blockchains competing for that crypto dinero with incredible functionality, anonymity, so much we could talk about there. That's not the topic here today. That might stifle some demand. We'll really have to let the market price dictate the true value. We've got to look at all the scenarios and keep that in mind.
Yeah, Chris. John here, sunny San Diego. Just a little comment on your interview with Bill Murphy. You asked a rhetorical question. Why would they try to rig such an inelastic market as silver? Of course, we both know, we all know why they are rigging silver, because silver is a monetary metal and it's tied at the hip with gold, and they must keep both suppressed. They can't do one and not do the other. And they will be successful in rigging the market until the physical market trumps them. And that day is fast approaching, in my opinion. If $1 trillion moved into the sector almost virtually overnight because paper assets are blowing up, they will be absolutely powerless to stop the rise in price because the center of gravity will move from New York and London to Shanghai and other Asian exchanges that perhaps are not yet born that require the the depositing of physical metal before you can trade anything, any paper contract on that exchange. That will be the day that it all ends. Just when that happens, who knows? But just think of this, $1 trillion moving into the market, trying to buy physical. It'll be impossible to stop a price explosion. Thanks for the show.
Next up, longtime listener and commentator. Well, hi, John. You know, I think we covered silver in such detail already with the first caller that I'll spare everyone the trouble of hearing it again. And remember, we want you to record your questions and comments. We have a Q&A hotline. You can call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 641-715-3900. You'll need the extension number or the mailbox number, 514049. The number again, 641-715-3900. Please jot it down on a post-it pad or right by your phone or into your mobile phone. And you'll need the mailbox number as well, 514049. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek Radio.